Welcome to the Draft Doctors Fantasy Footy Podcast with your hosts, John Crockett, Steve Fizz, and the Statesman.
G'day everybody and welcome to the Draft Doctors. It's Jono here and we are doing our Supercoach Forwards show. We're going to run through the top 30 forwards in Supercoach for the year. And if you're just new to the pod, we have split the shows into Supercoach and the Dream Team format. So Cam, Doss and the Statesman will be doing the Dream Team show while Steve and I are doing the Supercoach. And welcome to you, Steve.
How you doing, John? How you doing, listeners? Hope everyone's feeling good and alive. Really getting into the forwards today, and I couldn't be less excited, Jono. It's just such a deep position group. It just doesn't matter so much, and as you go through these names, I'm sure we'll talk about 20 players who will be separated by about 3 points at season's end.
Pretty much, and unlike the defenders last week, it's a pretty vanilla list, you would think.
Comes across a bit that way. I'm looking at these names going, it reminds me a lot of last year.
Yeah, exactly right. Like, I'm looking at these like my 30, I'm like, I'm happy to have any. They're going to score very well. Just put a line through all of them. They're my tier. I'll take any of them. I really don't care.
Yeah, there's a couple at the end who are probably a bit new to the scene. Maybe a few old favourites returning, but it was actually interesting, John. I was thinking about this the other day, and I always equate breakouts in fantasy with players leaving situations. And one of the easiest ways for that to happen is by players retiring. And at the end of 2016 and the end of 2017, we had quite a lot of really good players retire, and it created all these gulfs, all this heavy scoring opportunities for breakouts. At the end of 2018, we really didn't have a lot of big-name fantasy players leave the game. So I'm really looking at the guys who are either going to break out. It's like there's been a couple of instances where, like, Lachie Neale leaves and they don't really replace him over at Fremantle. Yes, that's sort of that instance. But across the board, it's going to be more guys returning to form or breakouts.
Role change and, yeah.
Well, role change, breakout sort of things. But, I mean, breakouts are so fickle. Like, I know there's the general third-year rule, but that's not hard and fast. And often a third-year breakout coincides with someone moving on.
Exactly right. Just like previous weeks, we're just going to go through the top 30 in bunches of fives. I'm going to kick it off with the top five. I think you're going to have it exactly the same. Might be positioned here or there. Kicking off with Paddy Dangerfield, Devon Smith, Isaac Heaney, Josh Dunkley, and Toby McLean.
We are not the same, my friend. We are not the same. I've got Danger on an island as my top tier forward. I think he's the unicorn player in Supercoach. I actually got him number one overall, and it's not particularly close for me. Some people would argue Brodie Grundy, and that's fine, but I think Danger's quite clearly top one. I've got Isaac Heaney at number two, actually. So a little bit different there. He was averaging 107, Jono, up until the concussion. Yep. And Hannabury's out. More midfield time, possibly. We know he's only going from strength to strength. And I'm sure the Statesmen are praying to his little shrine like Serrano in Major League with Joe Boo. Can only be doing good things for Isaac Heaney. Number three, I have got Devon Smith, and those two are on that second tier. But this is where I'm very different, Jono. I've got Robbie Gray at number four, and I've got Tom McDonald in at number five.
Really? Tommy Mack at number five? That's interesting. And even Robbie Gray, I'm just not super hot on him this year. Well, I know he's been a great Supercoach scorer, but just not hot on him.
Yeah, he just doesn't need the midfield time in Supercoach. I think he will get some. There is obviously some midfield time going to be up for grabs. I mean, if you ever watch a Port Adelaide game and the game's on the line, Robbie Gray ain't in that forward line. He's at the centre bounce. And Tom McDonald, look, no Jesse Hogan. Like, he absolutely broke out last year. No Jesse Hogan, more targets in that team. Melbourne, we know they're going to be finishing at the pointy end of the... Wow. We assume they'll be finishing at the pointy end of the ladder. I've obviously improved the back line and just looks fantastic on paper. Super athletic. I can't get past it. And look, if you want to talk about the Bulldogs boys, I know that they're your guys, and like they were both fantastic. But I've got Dunkley in at number 8. I got McLean in the next tier down.
Yeah, I can see your point on the McLean one. I mean, we were having some talk about it on Twitter last week, where with Mitch Wallace coming back in, which is someone we'll talk about a little bit later, that we can see them two being that pressure forward, rotating through the mid with each other, which will drop their averages significantly to those, if you're going to say mid-80s to low 90, you would think, if that.
Well, I think they'll both end up being fine across the season. I obviously got Dunkley a little bit higher, and I like him, and I think he's fine. And if he was my F1, I'd assume I was really strong elsewhere, and I could live with it. But I'm just cagey on what happens. Like, he could average 110 for half the season and 80 for the rest of the season. You know what I mean? Like, and that's how he gets to whatever. And I'm just a bit cagey about it all. So I'm a bit less confident, and I wouldn't feel real great about drafting them as a top 5 forward.
See, I'm probably more confident on Dunks than I am McLean, I think.
Well, I'm with you there.
Yeah, from what we saw last year, just hands down better. And again, this is January. We haven't seen a game of football yet. So a couple of weeks' time when the footy does start, these rinks are certainly due to change.
And you know, you consider, like, they got Tom Liberatore to come back into that team. And we know Supercoach is, it's such a contested, you know, it's weighted to the contested possessions, and that's what Tom Liberatore does. I mean, I can't think the added competition for those touches is going to improve things for these guys. Like, if Dunkley went back to A, tagging, or B, you know, a pressure forward or something, I wouldn't be shocked.
But I think Dunkley, because he was so good as a tagger and wins his own ball, he stays in there with Liver. I think, well, this is Bevo.
You don't know.
No, we don't. It's all speculation. I just think those two are going to be the constant in the midfield this year. But, hey, Bevo's Bevo, and he can put him at fullback. We don't know.
Yeah, I can't feel confident about that. I'm just not as confident as you. That's fine. I understand both of them have tremendous upside.
Moving on to the next 5. At number 6, I've got Sam Menegola. Number 7 is Chad Wingard. 8 is Tommy McDonald. Number 9 is Buddy. And 10, Jack Gunston.
Yeah, okay, so again, we're a little bit different here. I've got Jack Gunston in at number 16. The Tom Mitchell thing, don't want a piece of it. I think he's going to be fine, but it might be more up and down, so that's why I've slid him right down. The other names, they're all kind of around abouts. I've got Buddy at 6. The injury and age concern me. But he's still
Buddy.
He still gets it done, and even if he's failing, he's still a big name on the trading block. Menegola, 7. The guy hasn't failed despite not really being a sexy name. I got Dunkley at 8, that's fine. Wingard, I got at 9. Like, Robbie Gray scores wherever. Possibility for midfield time there. And I got Tommy Hawkins in at number 10. Although I will say that he is the start of my 4th tier.
Fair enough, yeah. A bit different on Hawkins. I've got him down a little bit further, but get to him a little bit later. So, yeah, I can...
Well, I'd like Tommy Hawkins, because I had him, like, I think we had him sort of in the, you know, around 15 last year, and I thought it was pretty high, and then he just blew that out of the water.
Yeah, and look, I'll get to him when we get him later, but I can see your point, and you average 101, and nothing's really changed with the Cats to suggest he can't do the same.
That's the thing.
So, yeah, it's crazy, isn't it? It's just Tom Hawkins, key forward.
The only thing I could think was that Radaglia back, maybe that hurts him.
But it didn't when he was in the team. But we'll get to that. So that was pretty easy top 5, top 10 there. Kicking off the next 10, I've got Tim Kelly at 11, Toby Green at 12, Dave Mundy at 13, Robbie Gray 14, Jack Billings at 15.
Sorry, who was your 14? Robbie Gray.
Robbie Gray.
Yeah, it's... I mean, all the names are there, aren't they? I mean... I've got Westhoff in at 13, so that's probably where we're a fraction different. But
I can't have the love so high for Westhoff this year. I mean, he's fantastic, but I just think he loses 10 minimum points at least, so brings it back down to it for me. I just can't see why everyone's so hot on him still.
Well, because he's not terrible. Like, I mean, you put it like this. Do you like good personality Tom?
I do.
Yeah, well, and he's fine. But, you know, it's not... Like, he doesn't really let you down. You don't have to... Mm. Like, just because you rank someone somewhere doesn't mean you have to draft him there.
No, that's right.
I think he's been a pretty steady performer. I think he's going to run up and down the wing doing whatever the hell he wants if these new rules help someone who's taller, because they'll be able to get on the lead, like a la Nick Riewoldt, all that sort of thing. I'm pretty confident that he'll be fine.
Nah, fair enough. I don't have any.
Did you have Mundy?
Qualms. Mundy? I got Mundy E at 13.
Same sort of thing. Billings. All right, Toby Green at 16, but that's...
Yeah, I think might be super high. He's still coming back from that injury. Yeah. So, to wait and see. And Billings, once Brett Ratton's coaching, I think he'll absolutely knock him out of the park.
Is that round two? Or just after a bad AFLX, Richo's gone?
I think any St Kilda players be welcome to the AFLX teams if it's schoolyard picked.
The thing that really buoys me about Jack Billings is he's taking it seriously this year, Jono. And Alan Richardson must love hearing that. He's just like, well, you're going to get me sacked, you asshole.
Yeah, well, that's Richo's fault for playing him in the wing instead of in the guts or deep forward. Well, someone who is taking it serious is Jack Higgins. You've seen that. He's back into the preseason already. He's already doing all this running and before the Tigers went back, but... Yeah, it's really interesting there with Jack Higgins because sure as hell can't do anything else outside of football, you would think.
Yeah, love Jack Higgins when he's playing on football, not with a microphone, Jono.
Exactly right. Moving off to the next five, I've got Christian Petracca coming in at 16, Tommy Hawkins at 17, Josh Kennedy at 18, the Hoff at 19, and the Lambo, Kane Lambert at number 20.
Wow, you're hotter on all these guys than I am. I thought I'd be the hottest on Petracca. But that's interesting. The guys I have different to you, I've got the Tom Lynches, 18 and 19.
A little bit lower, but...
Yeah, and, you know, I've got Lambert at 23. I've got Petracca at 20. I thought they were really fair ranges. But give me good personality at 18, rebound from his injury year, steady as they come, and give me the handsome one. Joins the Tigers. He's averaged mid-80s in a garbage team, if we're being honest.
That's true.
Rolls into Carlton first match of the season. He'll be taking a 170 average into round two.
Doesn't he average like 8 goals a game again?
Something like that. It's something ridiculous like that. Just inject that to my veins, Jonathan.
No, again, I can see it. Love GP Tom Lynch. I've got him ranked slightly a little bit lower. Just look, we can all put a line through that Adelaide year last year. Every player across the board was down. But GP Tom Lynch, love him, but I still think he's batting just a little bit. I think it's just the name brand. It's not there. I know he scores well, but...
He doesn't have the upside. He's not going to be a 95 score. He's just going to be a high
90-ish.
80s.
Yeah, 90. Exactly. Yeah, but I just see a few others above him scoring more than that for him.
Well, I think the idea is that you take, you know, if you want Petracca over him, you're assuming that Petracca's going to go to 90 plus.
Yeah, 92, 93, I see the track at this year.
And I don't think he'll, I think they'll be drafted that way. Like, I think that both the Tom Lynches will be quite good value, especially ugly Tom Lynch. Good personality Tom Lynch, I mean.
GP, which is short now, GP.
GP.
Fair enough. Lambert, handsome Tom's that team, it won't affect his output. He's just been knocking it out last couple of years. He's steady as, but again, I can still see him sliding because he's not that name brand value, is he?
Yeah, well, I mean, I look at the guys who I've got ranked behind him, and, you know, I'm looking at JJK and Mitch Robinson and Travis Boak, and all those guys have a bit more cachet than the Lambo. But the interesting thing about Supercoach as opposed to Dream Team, Jono, is you can't hide those Supercoach points. If you win, you generally get some points.
You certainly do, certainly do. Going into the next five now, 21, I've got Jack Darling. 22, this is going to be pretty contentious, but I've got no idea where to rank this bloke, so I'm just throwing him here, and that's Mitch Wallace.
Not on my list, Jono.
Like I said, I don't know where to rank him, so I'm just throwing him in there and see what sticks.
That's an average move, Jono. Like, you were looking at his average and go, I've got to put him in here somewhere.
It is. Yeah. I don't know what the hell they're going to do, so I'm just chucking him in there.
Did Sam Reed and his 103 get in there?
Who?
Sam Reed.
Didn't he play
one game for 103?
He did. Where are we at? 23, I've got Travis Boak. 24, Jack Zibel. And 25, Handsome Tom.
Yeah, I don't have Zibel on my list. I hate Jack Zibel. I'm just not interested at all.
No, I'm interested. There is some interest in Jack Zibel. Yes, he's got the forward status. We did see him play forward status a lot last year, but...
Pure forward. No, he just, that's all he did. He didn't go in midfield at all.
But that's the thing, they've got all these inclusions. Maybe he can go midfield again this year and get
you 90. But all the players they brought in were midfielders.
I understand that, but they've got other blokes who can play forward, so Higgins and Jermont can go forward and score nothing.
Go forward. You're reaching. I'm seriously reaching.
But Zibel, they can throw him in there in a pinch. He's got great tackling pressure. He can be there in a pinch and help him out. So
it's not.
He's a poor man's Robbie Gray.
He's a real poor man's Robbie Gray. Specifically, a North Melbourne's man's Robbie Gray.
Well, North Melbourne are a poor man's football team, aren't they?
They are indeed. Yeah, I don't like it at all. Sorry. My 21s, I got DeGoey at 21. Do you have him at all?
Yeah, he's in the next batch.
Hogan at 22.
Wow.
He's gone from the team with the most inside 50s to one of the first, but he's still a gun.
He's still a gun.
He'll just be a bit more boom bust. Lambo at 23, Darling at 24, and JJK at 25. I think JJ, I can't really get super behind JJK because he's still,
He's had a limited shoulder surgery. Well, a shoulder surgery, so what? Doesn't stop him from running.
Well, they said, he should be right for round one. I'm sorry, what should?
Well, it's a little shoulder surgery. Don't know exactly what he had, but doesn't stop him from running. He's dropped 4 kegs, so he's a little bit lighter. So maybe with the new rules, he's doing some more running, like Jack Darling, pushing up the wings a little bit more, a few more contested marks than he normally has. Maybe just drops a goal, who knows?
Dropping a goal's not good for your scoring.
But if he's getting contested marks, it's sort of counterbalance.
Wait, you said he's going to run, so he's on a lead.
Mm.
That's not a contested mark. That's a mark on a lead.
Yeah, someone's dropping back into space. It's contested, isn't it?
Yeah. All right, anyway.
I see football very differently. What was I say? 26, your boy Michael Walters. 27, yeah. Jordan DeGoey. 28 is Blake Akers. 29 is GP Tom Lynch. And rounding at 30 is Jesse Hogan.
Yeah, I don't have Akers at all.
You think he drops right out, do you?
No, he should score fine. But look, think about it like this. They brought in Hannabury. They reckon Billings is going for the midfield. I'm projecting that. You're obviously projecting it from your average. Well, where the hell does he score? Is he best 22? He should be, but he's so inconsistent. His worst is so bad, Jono.
Oh, understandable. Understandable. But again, another year matures.
He's like, to me, like him and Wallace are the guys cut of the same vein. Like, they score well when they're out there, but they're not automatic best 22.
Mm.
So I'd rather different guys, like guys who I've got. So in that range, I've got Mitch Robinson, 26, not sexy, but he scores well. Walters, 27, we know what he can do when he gets the midfield time, and there is some there. Boak at 28, you know what he does. Fantasia, I've got at 29. Fantasia is someone I'm sort of ready to go to bat for. And Jimmy Warple at 30. And I got Bruce. Look, I've had Bruce at 30 as well. They're both sort of, I can't pick, split the difference. But I'll take Warple just for pure upside.
I understand that upside. And he was one of those blokes we'll talk about that, you know, looking on the outside, who you take, that you've got a smoke on. We know Warple now with Titch going down. I've got him high on him. I'm actually high on Darcy Parrish too. I think we saw him go great for a half of football and then just fade with no tank. But if he can get some sort of semblance of a tank this year, I think he there's a massive upside there for him, because I think there was one game he was 88 at halftime and then scored another 4 for the rest of the match. So if he can run out a game, big upside for there.
Yeah, look, I really like Parrish as well. I guess there's just, you know, other guys I'm a little bit hotter on. I like, you know, he was, of my notable omissions, he was the first one. I got Kyle Langford in there as well. I got Jeremy Cameron and Peter Wright, just as a real super smoky.
Yeah. What are your thoughts on J-Roo this year?
Yeah, look, he should be fine.
Yeah. Won't see the 92 average, but he's always been 85 to 90.
If you wanted to draft him as your F...
3 or 4?
3. I'm okay with that. I don't... He could be in here. I wouldn't say much.
Mm. The big question is Liam Picken. What the hell is he going to do? Because looking at it, he's got a range of 70 to 100.
No, that 100's...
That was an outlier.
Right. Yeah.
But it was 80, dropped down to, I think, 85, 90.
Well, he's the perfect guy to go into that forward line, isn't he?
Yeah, could do.
I'm just not ranking him. I'm just really unclear about what his season looks like.
Oh, definitely. He doesn't have a clear role defined just yet. And one that scored well last year and got the All-Australian, Shane Edwards. The great assist man.
Oh, he's a gun player. I love watching him play, but he's probably someone I'm looking to use off the waiver wire, Jono.
Wouldn't use him as a F5 or bench player, bench coverage.
Yeah, so I'm quite happy to use him off the waiver wire, but he's not someone I'm looking to draft. I'd probably rather, you know, take a shot on other players at maybe a Gresham or, you know, someone like that, I guess.
Yeah,
but Jack Higgins, maybe.
Yeah, Jackie Higgins. You said Brandon Partiff, the Statesman man, 80 average, probably going to be the same. Who we got?
It's hard to see him doing much in the contested front.
I think so.
Yeah.
Caddy as well. What's he doing? I know he scored all right, but I think he goes backwards this year.
Yeah, I'm not hot on Josh Caddy. I think it's really easy to project him to go backwards.
Mm.
A couple of guys who are like super, super, super smokies, Jono. I'm just going to say this because they're actually training as intercept defenders, and that's Josh Battle from St Kilda and Tim O'Brien at Hawthorn. Now, I'm not projecting these guys to do anything, but I'm just saying it's, you know, we've seen, look at James Sicily, mate, a couple of years ago, he was just a spud, couldn't get a game as a forward, and now he's top 5 defender. So yep. I'm just saying strange things can happen with these sort of guys.
Hey, well, the Hawks did trade Jiraiya to the Bulldogs, so they're looking for another forward down back. Defender going
another
down
forward
back.
Down back.
That's
classic.
It, that's
Bevo's might mantra. Let's get our forwards down back.
That's what we need on a t-shirt. Bevo, forwards down back. I think that's about it.
I will say there's a guy. Like, I like Tex Walker. I think he's super unders.
Oh, man, I've got... like him, and he's super unders too. Like, no one's picking him up this year. If he gets a game, David Armitage. But I want to go back to your thoughts on Fantasia. I know he averaged really well at the back end of last year, and just want to know why you're super hot on him.
Well, I mean, it's a late F3 in the rankings. I mean, So he's averaged 83 across the season. The back end of the season was really good. Has been inconsistent with injuries, but I think Essendon's going to be a really good team. And one thing I want in my Supercoach players is please be in a good team.
Mm. And with smoking Joe Danaher back, if he doesn't get that mark, he's palming it down to the crumbs.
Well, yeah, I mean, look, I don't hold any great hopes for Joe Danaher, to be honest, ever since you nominated him as your fantasy best and fairest. It's basically been game over.
Well, look, I did for the poor smoking Tom. I got him traded.
A lot of upside for his life, but yeah, look, the back end of the season was really handy for Fantasia, and I certainly think they're going to be a pretty good team. A couple of the other scrubs have gone out of that forward line, so as long as he can stay fit, that's going to be the key for him. He can certainly score well. He rolled out the 133 at the back end of the year.
Yep.
Give me all of that.
Yep, definitely. Yeah. Like, there's so many fours this year. If you don't get them, there's going to be plenty of pick and plays off that waiver wire this year anyway.
Yeah, I mean, he's just someone I see as being very talented, and you know, he should be able to do more than, you know, some of these other guys.
Yeah, I agree. Not super hot on well, it's Essendon, so I'm not super hot on anyone from Essendon. So,
but I don't think you have to be to draft him. Like, if I liked him, I might be drafting him in the 15th round.
I can go deep because people are just like, yeah, Fantasia.
Yeah, exactly, and that happens, and that's fine.
Yeah, I agree. It's fine.
So,
anyone else you want to talk about while we're going through the list?
Not really. I mean, I feel sorry for Charlie Kurnow, to be honest. Like, I was really going to be keen on him this year, and then the injury to Doherty happened, and I'm kind of just like, well, I mean, he's such a good player, but their ball movement just stunk, and we sort of knew that was going to happen last year, and it's kind of hard to get excited about it, unfortunately.
Yeah, slitting him down. Richie Douglas, another little smoky there. Average all right.
What's he going to do?
It'd be a plug and play. Plug and play.
I might be interested in Chera. It's going to be super late.
Yeah.
It's not. I mean, Dow at Carlton, he should get all the midfield time in the world, but whether he makes that leap to be rosterable, probably time will tell. I mean, and look, if we're being honest, you don't really, in Supercoach, you don't really need to roster low 80s forwards.
No.
You find that on the waiver wire every single week.
Oh, you do. And, what was it last year before Bruce went on his massive run, averaged well against Steve, pick him off the waiver wire before he
averaged 130 in the back end of the season. 130.
That is crazy.
But he's not going to do that again. They're not going to have that string of games, and they're probably going to be a worse team.
Well, that's right. That's right. And you got blokes like the Chad and other bloke, and, well, I suppose Ruffy's coming to the end, but if they're priming O'Brien to play back line, then who the hell knows?
Who knows, John? I mean, I wouldn't be blown away to see Sicily get swung forward, and I really don't know what's going to happen at Hawthorn this year. I think it's a real... real interesting conundrum they've got down there.
Yeah, I'm sure Big Al Clarkson will work something out there and blow us all away, and we'll be looking to grab one of the player who pops out of nowhere like we did see with Sicily from a couple of years ago.
Yeah, and I mean, look, it could be a Harry Morrison or someone like that. I mean, there's always just guys, and isn't it funny, John? Like, we sort of say, like, you know, we're going to be wrong because we can't be right. That's part of the game. Like, We know that's going to happen, injuries and role changes and things like that. But we just know there's going to be random guys bob out. Like, who the hell was Bailey Fritch 12 months ago?
Never heard of him.
Exactly. Like, and, you know, I'm sure there's someone listening to the podcast going, oh, I heard him in my fucking dynasty team or whatever. And that's all good, man. How could you project him to be any good?
James Harms did not predict that. No one predicted James Harms.
Well, I still remember I went to a Melbourne training a few years ago, and it was pissing down rain, and two guys stuck out like dog's balls. One was Nathan Jones, and the other one was James Harms. And he's just kind of battled along ever since then. And obviously last year with the, you know, the midfield time and everything, he really broke out as a player. But,
to the average there, guys,
You
don't see that, so...
Well, I mean, like, look at George Hewitt, and, you know, 2 years ago he was kind of unrosterable, and he got the tagging gig at Sydney, and then he becomes rosterable as a forward. Now he's lost that status. Mm. But that's going to happen again. Well, I mean, look at Bailey Banfield. If they go back to a tagging role with him over at Fremantle, he's got forward status now. Like, he could be rosterable, of course.
Oh, definitely.
So... I mean, it's just so... Especially it comes out of the forward line so much, Jono. You'll know this, that... all the waiver picks, I shouldn't say all of them, but they generally come out of the forward line.
Yeah, most of them, like, I do the late week pickups, 75% forwards.
And it's so much easier to pick who the shitty teams are that a random bloke is going to bob up. I remember back-to-back weeks, it was the early days of the podcast, back-to-back weeks we had Levi Casbolt and Johnny Butch score over 100. Back-to-back weeks.
120, I think it was.
Because Sauce Merritt was, like, the worst player in the league. And, well, not really his fault, because he was past it and they kept him on the list, and the ball was just flying down there at a million miles an hour.
Free kick against goal.
So, poor old Sauce. He was so past it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It was like Daniel Bradshaw in his last year. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah. He's standing there. It's a statue.
Yep. I remember watching him in a final. Him and Jonathan Brand in a final against the Bulldogs, the G one time. They were awesome. Like, in there. Yeah. Like, the year or two after they'd gone the three in a row, like, they were still awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, look, if, say Ryder goes down, Lysette's probably a top 10 forward.
Well, we saw that a couple of years ago when Nick Nat went down.
Yeah.
And it happened.
Yeah. So, I mean, all those things sort of happened. Because the Ruckman are never RDs, they're always RFs.
That's right.
So,
unless you're Jordan Ruffhead, but.
Ugh, he's not anything.
He's just
Collingwood starting fullback next year. Good times, good times.
Yeah, could be. Let's wrap this puppy up. Thanks everyone for listening. Next week we're doing midfielders, and that'll be the end of the rankings. And after that, we're going to do some keepers, I think. All right, that wraps up the show for this week. Thanks very much for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Draft Doctors Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and review.